this morning. Amen. How great, wonderful it is to serve a God that's alive. Amen. You think about many people and the religion that they have. It just pains me. It hurts me. They go and they do their traditions. They do their rituals. They redo their routine and they don't feel any different. In fact, after they do all that, they might feel worse. They don't feel any difference. But I thank God, amen, that we can feel this God that we're serving, that He puts an inspiration down in our hearts and in our souls. Amen. He puts a zip in our step. Amen. He puts life within us and He gives us life more abundantly. And we're excited about what we do. Amen. I'm not serving God because I have to do this, I have to do that, and it's just something that I must do, and if I don't, my God will become angry with me and upset with me. Man, that's not the kind of God that I'm serving. I'm serving a God that loves me and He cares about me. Amen. He's touched with the feelings of my infirmities. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And better than that, this God that I'm serving, nothing takes Him by surprise. He knows everything that's going to happen in my life this week. He knows everything that's going to happen in your life this week. He already knows that. We don't know. There's a song that was written years ago. Amen. There's a lot of things that I don't know about tomorrow. Amen. But I know who holds my hand, and that we can take great comfort in that. This is Mission Sunday to get your missions money in. Back on the bulletin board, there's an updated missions letter from MEA Missions. You can take the time to read that. It's only a page long to know what's going on. There is a missions trip coming up in the month of March, which is coming on us real quick. And so pray about that. God is on the move, as that song said. He's on the move. So keep giving into the work of the Lord. How about Brother Eric? You can scoot out there. Amen. We're going to have to be a church of closeness here for our next little while. Amen. An inconvenience, whatever you want to call it. I hope it didn't throw anybody. I hope you didn't have your favorite seat and you came in and it's like you popped an attitude right away. Well, I guess I'll sit here. And as Brother Eric says, what we got going on here, and it's going to affect all of us, look at it as growing pains. It's growing pains. Amen. We're going to pray and He'll come around with the plate. God, we're so glad that we can give into Your work and into Your service. And God, we thank You for helping us and blessing us and blessing this local assembly right here, God. And for these projects that we have at hand right here, God, You are the provider, God. This is Your house. We're doing it for You, God, not to give ourselves recognition or a name, God, but it's to bring honor to You. And we pray that all finances that are needed will be provided in the name of Jesus, that You'll meet every need, Lord, and help the missions today, the work that goes on in missions, that all the needs will be met and supplied. God, we thank You for it. In Your name, Jesus, amen. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. We sing songs sometimes, but a lot of times we don't really think about what we're singing and what the song is saying, but we serve a great God. Amen. We serve the only true and living God. There's a lot of gods in this world. Amen. But I'm glad I'm serving the God that I'm serving. And I have no doubt, neither should you have any doubt, when you call on the name of the Lord, He hears you. And how awesome is that? That God can hear everybody. There's millions of people in this world, over a billion people in this world. But whoever's calling on the name of the Lord, God hears them. He hears their personal cry. Amen. Their personal prayer unto Him. And it's great to be serving the God that we're serving. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to start out in the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 15 and 16. And so what I've entitled this morning, and you're going to see where I'm going with this morning, is maintaining yourself, the importance of maintaining yourself spiritually. And we're going to look at examples in the scripture, and then we're going to just switch gears up a little bit and look at it from the natural sense of what maintenance is and the purposes and the reasons for it. And you're going to see a lot of parallels there, how that maintenance, even in a factory or in your own home on certain items, how important it is. And if you do it, this is the benefit. If you don't do it, this could be the bad outcome of it. So spiritually speaking, we have to maintain ourselves before God. Luke chapter 5, let's read verses 15 and 16 this morning for starting. And I like what some people do, and I'm one of these old timers. I've been around forever, and I just fall into ruts and routines and don't do it. But why don't we stand while we read these first two scriptures this morning? Amen. I like that last week. Our brother had us stand for the reading of the word. I'm going to read other scripture, but you don't need to stand for all of them. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Father, we thank you for this day. We pray that you will help, Lord, this word as it's shared today. Let it be anointed by you, God. Lord, and the words that would come out of my mouth, let them be words that you would speak if you were here this morning, God. Lord, that it will minister unto us. It will help us, God. Lord, and the message will get through to us today that we'll receive it with gladness in our hearts. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And so as we look at these two verses here, and you can go prior to that, the miracle of the fishes had just happened, and then Jesus healed a leper, and then we come into verse 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him of their infirmities. And so Jesus was very busy doing the will of the Father, and you need to apply this to your own life, amen, where you need to be busy doing the will of the Father, and things were beginning to roll pretty good. There was a lot of sickness that was being healed. The demonics were being set free. The dead were being raised. And there was controversy that he was having with the Jewish people because he was coming out, as they would say, with this new religion, and they didn't appreciate it very much. But it was starting to go pretty good for him. And he could have had within himself a sense of satisfaction. Wow, this ministry is really starting to happen. There's people that are really receiving and all this good. And my, just look at all the multitudes that are following me. Oh, that almost puts a chill in my spine. I have become a success. I'm doing so great and I'm doing so wonderful. And the fame went out about him and the word went out. More people were coming to see him. And he could have thought in those ways, but they were coming him. They were coming together to hear him and to be healed by him. So people came to hear him and people came to be healed of their infirmities. So instead of Jesus just rolling with that, this is working good. Man, this is working good in my life. This ministry that's working through me. Oh, the wonderful things that are happening. This is going good and wonderful in my life. And the danger that we can have in ourselves, we need to be careful when things start going well for you spiritually and you start to have what you could term as spiritual success. You're praying for people and prayers are being answered and people are coming to you with spiritual questions and you're able to help them and you're able to guide them. And then word is spread and then there's more people coming to you and you're happy with that. But Jesus, whenever all of this was going on in his life, he remembered who he really was. Now, he was God in the flesh, but I'm trying to draw a parallel here. When God begins to work in your life, you still need to remember who God is. You still need to remember where that power comes from, that you're able to go out there, as Jesus says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely have received, freely give. And you start going out there and you start doing ministry and you start seeing success and you start seeing people come into the kingdom of God. It's easy to think, well, God's really working in my life. I'm just going to roll with this. And the point that I'm making is we can get so busy working for Jesus that we forget to take time to spend that personal time with him. Because you go to the very next verse in verse 16, it says in Jesus, it says he, speaking of Jesus, he withdrew himself into the wilderness, into a lonely place where he was alone, and he prayed and he sought guidance from God. He was doing what I could call spiritual maintenance. He recognized that all of this that he was doing, although he was Jesus, so please understand the parallel that I'm trying to make here this morning. He realized that I'm not doing this in and of myself. This is because of that communication that I have with the Father, and I do the will of the Father, and I do and I say what he wants me to do, and he wanted to seek further guidance. He wasn't just going with it. I'm just going to keep going this way. This will just fall out however it's going to fall out. There's more people coming. People are coming into the kingdom of God. People are becoming believers. I must be doing something good and right. But he stopped and he took a prayer. He withdrew himself. All of a sudden, he wasn't available anymore. The people, it doesn't say it here, but the the people went searching for him. Where is he? One time he was on one side of the lake and he withdrew himself and went to the other side of the lake, and the people went around the lake to where, and I never did the math on it or the study on it to see how far it was and how long it took him. But wherever he went, they wanted to follow him. But there was times where Jesus would withdraw himself. He wasn't available. And it wasn't because he just needed a break. I just need some alone time. Man, it's so pressing. These people are coming to me with all these needs and these situations, and I just can't take it anymore. I'm about to crumble under the load. So I'm just going to step aside and just refresh myself naturally and going to see what happens so that I can go out there and do better. But when he withdrew himself, he went into a lonely place, into a place where he was by himself. Amen. And he didn't go there just to rest. He didn't go there just to take a break. He went there, and it says in verse 16, he went there and he prayed. He prayed. He was seeking guidance from God. And that's what we need to do in our life. When God, that's spiritual maintenance, seeking guidance from God. We can go along and think things are going pretty good. People are listening to what I have to say. Amen. And Jesus did not become emotionally involved with the demand that was on him. You can become so emotionally involved with the demand that's on you because you're a believer. Everywhere Jesus, when he was doing good, people were coming to him. We can get emotionally involved in things that we forget to take time with that relationship that we are to have with the Father. We don't have that alone time with God. And then before you know it, we find ourselves in a wilderness, and it's not a spiritual wilderness. We find ourselves in a dry place. You need to remember where the power and the strength comes from, that you're able to go out there and do things for God. And we can get this mentality. And Jesus could have easily had this mentality, but instead he withdrew himself into a lonely place for a time and he prayed. But he could have thought, if I don't do it, who's going to do it? And we can begin to think that too. We can begin to think that the world can't turn without me doing what God wants me to do. That is true. The world needs you to do what God has called you to do, but you have to take time out to build that relationship with God, to have to maintain that relationship with God so that you're able to continue the leading and the following of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you can just find yourself answering the demands that present themselves each day. And it's not even, may even be something that God doesn't want you to go down that trail and be involved in that. You need to know what the will of God it is. It's very easy to become busy working for the Lord or working for God and doing God's call, doing God's work. We're answering the calls for help. The phone rings. I need this. I need that. And you're like, well, that's a good chance. It's an opportunity to let my light shine for Jesus. Amen. We can get so busy involved in God's work, answering the calls for help, that we soon have lost our close relationship with God. In the first place, when the Spirit of God begins to work in your life and manifest himself, that you're able to help others, that's because you had a close relationship with God. And you need to maintain that close relationship with God. It takes a maintenance to do that. Amen. And before we get through here this morning, we're going to talk more about having that close relationship with God. But don't become so busy working for God that you lose your relationship with God. Well, I got a Sunday school class to teach. And we're not picking on our bus drivers, but I'll use that example. I got the bus to drive. I have the church to clean. I have the, you know, this to do. I have that to do. We're just so busy working for God that we don't have that relationship with God. That can happen in your own marriage. You can get so busy trying to please one another that you don't have that close relationship that you once had. Relationships, close relationships take work. They take effort. It's a decision you make in your mind that I'm going to have a close relationship with that individual. In Mark chapter 1, we're going to look at another example of Jesus when he went to pray. Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 37 says this, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he," speaking of Jesus, "went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee." All men seek for thee. There was a great demand on Jesus. And what does he do? There was a great demand. There's a great demand in ministry today. You might think you don't have a ministry. Everybody has a ministry. People are pulling. There's a great demand. People want help. And so there's a great demand on Jesus. And what does he do when this great demand was on him? Now, your great demand might not just be per se in ministry, but all of us have a great demand on our lives. There's things you don't go to bed at night thinking, well, what am I going to do tomorrow? Let me see. Yeah, I'll make my coffee and maybe I'll walk the dogs. And after that, I just pretty much float through the day. There's nothing going on. There's not many people that live like that. There's a great demand. You have all these responsibilities. You have things that you have to do. There's a great demand that's placed upon us. And there was a great demand that was placed upon Jesus. And what did Jesus do? In verse 35, he got up very early, rising before daylight. Now, right now, about a little after 6 in the morning, closer to 7, the daylight's starting to break. And so it was a great while, it says, before daylight that he got up. And what did he do? He, in verse 35, he went to a quiet place and he prayed. And he prayed in that quiet place. Pastor Eastman has said it this way before. He has experienced it. And there's good reasons. You will, and if you want to take me to task, you can. You will find it very much, or you will find it easier for you to pray between, I'm going to say, between the hours of 3 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the morning than any other time of the day. And Pastor Eastman said it this way, and I think he was on to something. And he came to this conclusion. He believed because of those hours, he didn't specifically name those hours, but his belief was, and you think about it, and there's some reality to this, there's less demonic activity going on in your area at that time of the day, between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. Because where does demonic activity work? It works in people. And what are people doing at that time? Most of them are asleep. So the demonic activity, the spiritual warfare, is at a low ebb at that time. It's not as strong as power. It's strong and powerful. So if you pray at those times, your prayer will come to you so easy. You'll get so close to God. I mean, you'll have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost prayer meeting in your home or lying in your bed. And then his experience was, as it started getting more towards 5 o'clock, towards 6 o'clock and towards 7 o'clock, he could be getting, and this is in the spirit. You're not going to feel it naturally, but if you're in the spirit, you'll feel it. There was more of a demonic oppression that he began to feel because the demons, not that they sleep, but they work in people and they were beginning to operate and work. So Jesus, he got up before a great while before day and he prayed. Why? Because his life was guided by earnest, persistent prayer. What's your life guided by? Well, I don't know. I'm going to wait for the phone to ring. I'm going to wait for somebody to send me a message, and my life will be guided by them. I'll take that as though that's what God wants me to do for that day. Your life should be guided by persistent prayer. God, what is it that you want me to do this day? God, what is it that you want me to do this week? God, I want to do what you want me to do. Jesus, probably one of the biggest concerns that he had when he was here in his earthly ministry, one of his biggest concerns was, and he prayed it often, that I do the will of the Father. He wanted to know what the will of the Father was that's in heaven. God, I'm here, but what is it that you want me to do? And it needs to be the same way in our life. Our greatest desire should be, God, I want to do your will. And we all believe that God has a will for us, do we not? We would say, yes, we do. But then why aren't we saying, God, what is your will for me this day? What is your will for me this week? And we just entered a new year not so long ago, and some of us prayed that way. God, what is your will for me this year? What is it? I want to do, God, what it is that you have planned for me to do. Because if God could give you a piece of paper, we can use our imagination. And I sort of like to believe that he has that piece of paper. It's probably gold paper. And he has your name at the top. And this is what I want and expect from this child of God this year, this week, this day, this month. But our job is, the problem is, we don't have that paper right before us. We have to seek the will of the Father. And Jesus did that often. He wanted to do the will of the Father. And then it goes into verse 36 and verse 37. The demand was there. And Simon and they that were with him, they followed Jesus. That means means that they searched after him. All of a sudden, he's not around. He's not available. We're searching for him. We're going to find him. And when they found him in verse 37, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. There was a demand, but yet Jesus wanted to maintain that close relationship with the Father. And sometimes you might feel that way in your own personal life, maybe not a ministry per se, but you have said that, boy, everybody's after me. Everybody wants me to do this. Somebody wants me to do that. One wants me to do this. One wants me to go there. Everybody's seeking for me. I don't know what to do. Might I suggest to you, when you have a great demand on your life like that, you just go into a secret place somewhere. It can be out in the woods where we live. It could be in your own house. Lock yourself in a room somewhere and just spend some alone time with God and say, God, the demands are coming against me so much in life. I've just pulled in so many directions. Lord, I'm going to reestablish my relationship with you. I'm going to find out what it is that you really want me to do in life. And God would have us to do that. And then we're going to look at one more example in the book of Luke again. We was just over there a moment ago, Luke chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And this is when Jesus was getting ready to choose the 12. What did he do? And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And so before choosing the 12 apostles, Jesus went into a mountain and prayed all night. Why? He was about to make some very important decisions. He was about to make an important decision. He was about to make a weighty decision. He was about to make impactful decisions. And he prayed all night seeking guidance from God. What does that say to us? We don't face these all the time, but there's from time to time, you're going to make a weighty decision. You're going to make an impactful decision. You're going to make an important decision. And what did Jesus do when he was going about to do something like that? He prayed all night to God. Well, he was Jesus. He didn't have to do that. He set the example. He was seeking God's guidance. He prayed all night to God seeking guidance. Jesus, what did he do? He would get away from everyone to spend time alone with the Father because he wanted to have that relationship with him. We have the examples of that. He prayed early in the morning in one that we looked at. He prayed all night. He prayed on a mountaintop. He prayed in a quiet place where he could give his full attention to God. You at times need to give your full attention to God. You need to put everything out of your mind, all the daily things, all the daily routines and activities, just put it out of your mind and have that relationship with God. And it was a routine for Jesus to pray. It wasn't like, oh man, I'm feeling so pressed. I'm actually beginning to feel a little bit oppressed here. And I know what I'm lacking. I need to spend some time with the Father. Boys, I'm going to leave for a while. I have to go get back in touch with God because I've sort of lost communication with him. He didn't let it get to that point. He maintained that relationship with God. He never let it get to the point. And we do that as humans. We tend to do that. We just keep going and going and going until we're ready to break. And then hopefully we recognize, I need to spend some time with God. But you need to spend time with God before you get to that point that you feel like you're going to crack under the load. Amen. Go to God in prayer. Jesus did it where he could give his full attention to God. It was his routine. It was the routine of Jesus to pray. It should be our routine to pray. And it's more than just, now I lay me down to sleep, or God is good, God is great, we thank you for this food. Those routines are okay. They're good to do. Hopefully you're remembering God when you do those. But it was his routine to pray. It was his routine to communicate with God. When's the last time you communicated with God? Lord, what is your will for this day? We tend to seek God, the will for our life. Amen. We have Riley in with us here this morning. She's getting a little bit older, so she's going to want to know, God, what's your will for my life? What is it that you have chosen for me to do? God, it's not what I choose. Lord, what do you choose for me? Because I'll only be happy doing that. And to seek that out, that's a big deal. But it's more than just that. It's in our daily routine. What is the will of God for me today? God, what is it that you would have me to do? Amen. There are some things Amen. There are some things that must be done often and frequently. You have to do some things in this life often and frequently. And prayer is one of them that you should have to do. You should feel the need to have to pray often and frequently. When you don't have that alone time with God, you're just missing it. And I just have to get off by myself. And sometimes things happen. You don't get that time that you like to have with God, but you need to do it. And so such as in this life, some things need routine maintenance or issues will arise. And if you don't have that prayer time with God and that alone time with God, I can guarantee you that there's going to be issues and problems that arise in your life that could have been averted if you would have only maintained that close relationship with God. And that close relationship with God is more than just me picking my Bible up every day and reading two or three chapters. It's more than me just saying, God, help me get me through this day. I'm about to go out the door, and we'll give the Lord one or two or three minutes and say, help me. And that's all it is. It's more than that. Amen. It's having that deep relationship with God. Amen. You need that routine maintenance or issues are going to arise. And so what is routine maintenance? And now we're going to go down to the shop a little bit. Routine maintenance can be performed daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly. That's on in a shop, okay? And what does routine maintenance involve? It involves regular inspections and machine servicing. You need to do a routine maintenance on yourself and your relationship with God. You need to look at it regularly, inspect yourself. I'm inspecting myself. How is my relationship with God? When's the last time I prayed? When's the last time I fasted? When's the last time, and Pastor Eastman used to like to say this, when's the last time that I spoke in tongues? Say we're filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You're examining yourself. When's the last time that the Spirit spoke to me to pray for somebody or to go somewhere? You're doing that spiritual maintenance. You're inspecting yourself. You need to inspect yourself. Amen. Regular inspections on how it's going. And the primary goal when you do maintenance, when you look at yourself and you examine yourself, the Word of God tells us, let a man examine himself whether he be in the faith or not. So you are going to, when you're looking at this, you're going to identify problems on an ongoing basis. Identify problems in your life on an ongoing basis. Some problems, it's like we never get rid of them. Why are those problems there? And so we identify these problems on an ongoing basis before it results in equipment failure. If you don't examine yourself daily, whether you're in the faith or not, you're going to find yourselves in trouble at some point. There's going to be equipment failure. There's going to be a spiritual failure. There's going to be a pulling back. There's going to be doubt that arises in your heart. You're going to wonder if you even really believe what God wants us to, or what God says. So routine maintenance, if we do this routine maintenance, it's easy. Anybody, we're talking in the shop now, anybody can do routine maintenance, okay? Because that's small tasks that don't require special skills. Routine maintenance in your car. It's checking the oil. Yep, there's oil in there. Routine maintenance is making sure there's washer fluid in there. And we could give a lot of other examples, and some of you guys could probably think of some more than even I can. But routine maintenance, it's a small task that don't require a special skill. Work orders are completed regularly every day, every week, every month, or every year. We do that in the natural sense. Routine maintenance, what's the purpose and the reason of it? And you can apply a spiritual application to this. It reduces the need for emergency maintenance. Emergency maintenance, where, oh, Peter needed emergency maintenance. He denied the Lord. He cursed and swore. If he would have done some routine maintenance, he would have recognized that there was something in him that shouldn't be in there. But he didn't recognize that because he wasn't examining himself. He wasn't looking. And all of a sudden, he had an equipment failure. And so you'll have an emergency maintenance, thing that'll come up. And so if you do the routine maintenance and you do that, It reduces the need for emergency maintenance. Oh, you call the pastor, you call the hotline. Pastor, you got to pray. I just messed up so bad. I was just a failure. And you just explained thus and so. This is what I did. And I can't believe I did that. If you would have done some routine maintenance and been watching your own soul like God wants you to, yes, he keeps us, but he wants us to examine ourselves. Maybe you wouldn't have fell into that failure. Maybe you wouldn't have fell into that deep, dark depression that you're in if you would examine yourself and recognize the signs. Oh, this is heading me down the wrong road. I've got to wake myself. I got to get myself by the bootstraps. I got to encourage myself in the Lord. I have to pull myself out of this. And routine maintenance, amen, it also reduces wear and tear. I'll say this. Some old timers would agree. Some of the new religion out there wouldn't like it too much. But there should be no such thing as burnout for a Christian. There are pastors that they just burnt themselves out. If they have that routine maintenance for God and they stay in touch with God like they're supposed to do and have that relationship with God like they're supposed to, and they're seeking out what the will of God is for them in their lives, they're not going to burn out. Jesus didn't burn out. He stopped when the pressure was really on. We read some examples in Scripture today. He pulled himself aside. He could have just begun to roll with it. People burn out because they begin to roll with the demands that are up on them. You have to recognize that you need that routine maintenance. Otherwise, it reduces the wear and tear if you have that routine maintenance. Shut in with God in a secret place. You need to do that. Amen. And so if you have that routine maintenance, it increases the useful life of the assets that you have. You can be more useful for God if you have that routine maintenance with him. Shut in with God in that secret place. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. The enemy of our soul wants us to put wants us to put no importance on that. It doesn't really matter. You talk about prayer. Most people, they shut down right there. They don't want to hear about it. Amen. And so we need to note this. Effective maintenance is not simply upholding the status quo. That's within a factory, we'll say. That's with your vehicle. I'm going to put that spiritually. Effective maintenance is not simply upholding the status quo. You're upholding the status quo. What's the status quo? I'm in Sunday school. I'm in morning worship. I come to prayer service on Sunday night. I come to Sunday night service. I come to Wednesday night. I come to prayer that first Monday night of the month. Any special activities that the church has, I'm involved in it. And just the status quo. And I mention God from time to time. Status quo. I have this routine. I read three chapters of the Bible every day. Status quo. Tradition. Just doing those things. That's not what it's about. Amen. Effective maintenance is not simply doing those things. Amen. You have to do more. And in this world, and you're going to see a spiritual parallel here, the technology is changing quickly, and maintenance must also be instant, accurate, and effective. Where can we put a spiritual application to that? The time is short. The devil is running like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I believe with all of my heart, he knows that his time's coming to an end quickly. He can see, he knows, and he feels that. And so because the devil attacked, amen, is more prevalent upon us today. He's turning up the heat on people like he never has done before. And so if that's the case, and I believe it is, there's spiritual wickedness in high places like there's never been. Our maintenance, that spiritual time with God, it must be instant, accurate, and effective and efficient. You must do it. You must call upon God. You must call upon God. And so the reason that we do this routine maintenance is to prevent breakdowns and prolong the lifespan of the equipment. You do this routine maintenance. You just step back a little bit. Now, naturally speaking, people will take a vacation. They'll go away for a week or two, and they're rejuvenating themselves. They're refiring themselves, so they say. But a lot of times when they come back from those times that they set aside, they come back more tired than when they left, and they have to take a vacation from the vacation to get rested up. Amen. But spiritually speaking, it'll prevent breakdowns. It will prevent spiritual failure. I don't want to have spiritual failure. I want to stay faithful and true to God. Amen. And then there's this time-based maintenance. And what happens on time-based maintenance? And some of you are going to fit into this. failures occur due to age-related. Age-related. There's people that have been serving God for a long time that have issues, spiritual issues, that those of you that haven't been serving God so long don't have those issues. They face different things. Failures occur due to age-related. They just keep going and going. Amen. It's the same for us. We don't want to be ignorant concerning the devil's devices, how he tries to wear us down. Each stage of life, he attacks people in different ways. He attacks the older people different than he attacks the younger people. The younger people, he throws all the sin and all the lust of the sin and things that go with it. It makes it alluring. Oh, he can get them with that, but the older people, he can't. But the older people, what he gets with the older people is, you're not worth nothing. You've lived your life. You haven't done nothing for God. You're nothing but a flop and a failure. And he reminds you of all the failures in your life. So he does that. We need to be aware of that. Amen. And failure finding maintenance is done. Amen. Failure finding maintenance. We need to do failure finding maintenance to ourselves. What is that? This is what it is. To detect hidden failure or emergency situations could arise. Is there something within you that's a hidden failure? I'll step out and say this. What happened to Peter when he denied Jesus? He denied him not once, not twice, but three times. That was a hidden failure. I don't think Peter had it within him, because not very long before that, Jesus talked about, you know, you're going to deny me thrice and all this and that. And he says, not so, Lord. He goes, I'll never do that. That was a hidden failure within Peter. He said, I'll even go to the cross with you, I'll do all this for you. But there was a hidden failure. And so we need to do a failure finding maintenance. You need to know where you are most likely to fail spiritually. And that's going to take some work. That's going to take some alone time with God. God is going to speak that to your heart. Amen. And then there's condition-based maintenance. And what's that? We need to do this. We need to monitor for signs of impending breakdowns. I'm monitoring for signs of impending breakdown. That person said that. Ooh, that got me right in the heart. That knocked me down a little bit. And then you're moving along and somebody else does something or says something. Oh, it hits you again. That is a sign of an impending breakdown. If I have to take another dart to my heart, it's going to pull me down. I'm going to go into this oppression. I'm going to go into this depression. We need to recognize those things and we need to take action against them. Amen. And so what we have to do in our spiritual life, we have to have a proactive approach. We don't wait till a problem arises. We don't wait until we deny Jesus and said, oh, Lord, where did that come from? I'm sorry that I did that. We take a proactive approach. We examine ourselves. Let a man examine himself and see whether he be in the faith. And then you're ready to take the enemy on. And these tasks that we do, they need to be performed daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. You have to keep at this thing that you're at spiritually. You have to keep in that walk with God. Amen. And routine maintenance advantages. It reduces downtime. It'll reduce your downtime, your spiritual downtimes, where you're not worth too much to God. You're just struggling to stay a Christian yourself, and you're just trying to pull yourself up the mountain and over that next problem, and you don't know if you're going to make it. You will have fewer times, amen, of that happening if you maintain that relationship with God. If you maintain that relationship with God, and everybody can do routine maintenance spiritually. There's zero drawbacks to routine maintenance. Zero drawbacks. There's zero drawbacks. That alone time with God, getting into the Word of God, getting into the study of the Word of God, getting into prayer, really getting into prayer. Not just now I lay me, not just God, help me today, help all those that are sick, help us in the situations. Oh yeah, Lord, I have this situation coming up and I don't know which way to go. And Lord, I just pray and trust that you're going to help me and show me. Thank you, Lord. I'll see you later, God. I'll talk to you again tonight. Amen. We need to live in a state of prayer. Amen. That state of prayer. It says pray without ceasing. It's always in our mind, seeking the will of God, what the will of the Father is. Amen. A sister, Oaks, could come up to the piano here this morning. Amen. And I hope this has helped you here this morning. Let's everybody stand, and we're going to sing this song. Amen. The chorus of the song. We're not going to sing the verses to the song. In fact, I don't know the verses to the song. I wouldn't know how to get them into the song. And I'm not even sure that our sister here would know this. But the song that we want to sing this morning, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky, hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand, keep me safe. To until the storm passes by. Even if you're doing that routine maintenance, there's going to be things that'll come against you. It's going to try you. You don't have to feel bad about that. You're going to have thoughts of, like Job. Job's wife had the thought, just curse this God and die. This isn't fair what's happening to you. You're going to have those thoughts that come to you. But we need to pray that God will keep us safe till the storm passes by. We're not going to sing these verses to it. But if this fits you, God wants to help you this morning. And I'm just going to read the two verses that there is. And I don't know how the tune would go for them, so I'm not going to try that. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. And the next verse, many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the sky. So sing that this morning. Think about what was shared this morning. Amen. Realize the attack of the enemy upon you. He's just going to try to downright discourage you so you don't do nothing for God. Or otherwise, you're going to get so busy for God that you don't have that relationship with God. Both of those things being said, what's the enemy after? That you don't have a close relationship with God. He don't want you to have a close relationship. That bothers him. He doesn't want it to happen. Amen. So let's sing this morning. Amen. And pray and see that God will help you this morning. Amen. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more. God, I'm going to keep reaching out to you. Lord, it's not easy. Things are pressuring me. Things are pounding me. And sometimes I think I'm doing okay. And then bam, something happens and knocks the props right out from under me. God, I need to have a closer relationship with you. And he's there with us. Amen. We're going to sing that a few more times. If anybody wants me to agree in prayer with you today concerning this, amen, you come down. I will pray with you. You never have to tell me, amen, details, but we will pray, amen, that God will be there and help you till the storm passes by, that you're going to come out victorious, that you're coming out on the top in the name of the Lord. And God's going to help you today as we maintain our ways before him, as we build that relationship with him. The closer you build that relationship with him, I'll venture out to say this, the fewer or the less effect storms are going to have on you. You're still going to have storms, but they're not going to have that effect on you. Why? Because you're in that close relationship with God. You're in the boat with Jesus. Jesus is in the boat with you, and it's not going to have that effect as you get close to him. But if you're struggling with something today, amen, come on down to the altar. Let's agree in prayer. And if you don't want to do that, right where you are in your seat, amen, listen to the bidding of the Spirit today. Reach out to God and just say, God, help me. Lord, I'm guilty. I've got myself somewhat into this situation. Lord, have mercy. Help me, Jesus, today, God. Lord, you're not going to leave me. You're not going to forsake me. Amen. Let's sing it a few times today. Amen. There's somebody here today. You really need to take a hold of that. Doesn't mean the storm's going to stop, but until that storm passes over, God's going to keep you safe in the hollow of his hand. Amen. Until the sky doesn't have clouds anymore, till they're all rolled away. Amen. God is faithful. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't look at us and say, good enough for you. You got what you deserve. He looks at us with mercy and with love, and he's there to lift us up and to help us. Amen. To put our feet back up on that solid rock. Amen. That our faith waver not. Do an inspection of yourself. Examine yourself. Lord, why am I such struggle in this area? Why in this area of my life do I have such a struggle, God? I don't understand that. I try, but I fail and I fail. God, help me, Jesus. Lord's here today to help you. Let him help you today. Let him minister unto you today. Amen. Until the clouds, they just roll away. Amen. You'll look back on that. You'll think, man, I haven't had that problem in a long time. That used to bother me so much. It don't even bother me anymore. God helps us. Lord, help us this day, God. Lord, as we examine ourselves, God. Lord, we do that spiritual maintenance upon ourselves. Lord, as that song says, it's not my brother or my sister, Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer, God. But it's me that's standing in the need of prayer today. God, help us today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.